We continue on a journey that we began a few weeks ago, and we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer with the whole idea of how do we connect with God. We've talked a little bit about how in our world today we have a lot of technology, and supposedly that technology enables us to communicate better and to connect better. And the truth of it is, really, it doesn't. It's kind of a surface connection. And what Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer is kind of this format or this outline of how to really connect, how to dig into a deeper relationship with God by finding that secret place, shall we say, where we can connect, not in front of people, but again, that alone time with God by sharing the facts of our life. If you remember that acronym, the whole idea of our faith and our adoration and our confession, our thanksgiving and our supplication. The idea that we need to move forward at bringing God's kingdom to earth. The idea that we're called to forgive and to be forgiven in the world and how that helps us. It's all about connecting and, again, deepening our relationship with a living God, with a Savior, with someone who, again, wants to walk with us and be, again, that leader that we can follow if we are connected to that leader and if we continue to listen. And so we move forward with that this morning, and we begin as we hopefully will begin every time as we say together the Lord's Prayer. And again, I know this is a little bit of a different version. It's printed in the front of your hymnal if you don't want to look up here. But like we talked about so often, last week we talked about semantics. So many people talk about sin or debt or trespasses, and there's different versions. But what we forget is the key word there is forgive. We worry about whether or not we're going to say sin or trespasses or debt, but the key word is forgive. And so again, it may be a little bit different in its wording, but the outline and the format is the same to draw us closer to God and into a relationship with Jesus. And so this morning as we begin, let's pray this prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from times of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forevermore. Amen. Save us from times of trial. Deliver us from evil. Another way that it's written in the NIV is, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. If I were to throw out a few names, I'm wondering whether or not you could connect the dots. So if I were to say to you, Adam and Eve, and then add to Adam and Eve, David. And then add to that, Adam and Eve and David and Peter. What would be the common denominator that runs through those folks? Have any ideas? No such thing as a bad idea. Any ideas? How are they connected? There you go. Anyone else? Forgiven. Great word. In order to forgive, be forgiven, I'm going to go in that direction. Where did they have to go first? In order to be forgiven, they had to fail. And this morning, I want you to think about the temptations that these people faced, and they fell. Again, when you look at the story that's in Scripture, you know that Adam and Eve we're the ones who are blessed to be in that place called the garden. A place that would be a place of eternal life. A place that would be a relationship with God with one condition: don't eat from that tree. And yet the serpent came. Satan came with the right words. Satan came with the right ideas. Satan came with the message that moved a woman to a place of believing that she could be like God. Just take the fruit. Just eat it. And you can be like God. The temptation came, and she fell, and Adam followed. And so many did after and after because they believed they could be like God. Temptation, the fall. Maybe it was David who one day decided he should take a walk. Part of that walk was through the palace. And as he looked out, he saw this beautiful woman bathing. Well, that's Uriah's wife. But she's beautiful. The king. I can have her. And in the midst of that belief of his power over what is God's clear and ordained power, he takes her. And that temptation doesn't end but continues to the point of the death of Uriah. Because David's trying to cover his tracks because David wanted that more than anything, the temptation and the fall. And then there's poor Peter. Peter who wants to be the captain of the team. Peter who wants to be the one with the t-shirt, "Go Jesus." But when faced with peer approval, faced with the acceptance of his fellow citizens, and they look at him and they say, "Hey, you're with him. You're one of those, aren't you?" The temptation is too great to hide, to be accepted. The temptation comes and he falls. Tempted and fallen. And yet again, back to that great word, forgiven, we remember this week. But now let's add a name. And that name would be Jesus. Does Jesus fit in this group? What do you think? Can we put Jesus alongside of these three? Yes? No. No, I heard. All right, we'll go with that. And then my response is, was Jesus tempted? He was. So Jesus fits. Maybe it's not what Adam and Eve faced. Maybe it's not what David faced. Maybe it's not what Peter faced. But Jesus was tempted. The difference is that every time that Jesus faced a challenge, whether it be disciples who could not follow, whether it be Pharisees who wanted to end his ministry and his life, whether it be Satan who came and tempted him to the nth degree, Jesus turned to the Father. Amen. Jesus was the one who taught us again to take the sword of the Spirit and of prayer. And that it's that sword in hand that there can be an overcoming of temptation within our lives. And so this morning, when we think about this idea of lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, We have to ask the question, are we wielding the sword of the Spirit and of prayer? Because it's that sword that Jesus used to cut temptation off at the knees. And it's when we are tempted that we turn to Jesus and we talk to Jesus and we connect with Jesus so that we might, instead of like David say, she's mine, we can say, Lord, I'm blessed, and we can turn away. Instead of being like Adam and Eve, we can say, Lord, I don't need that knowledge and that understanding. I'm yours. Or like Peter, we can say, I don't need the approval of people. I am your child. Do we possess the sword of the Spirit and of prayer? Understand clearly. Much like we talk to folks who come and to confess their faith in Christ, that this sword is two-edged. What do I mean by two-edged? One, again, it is the sword of the Spirit. It is that thing that God gives as a mighty tool to defeat the evil one. But once we confess our brokenness, once we admit to our need for the sword, then the evil one goes to work even that much harder to knock us down. The closer we want to walk with God, the closer Satan wants to get with us. So what about this thing called temptation? What about this thing called evil? Or in some translations, the evil one. This morning, I want you to understand temptation, Satan, and Satan's agenda is real. I want to say it again, is real. If you are here today and believe that there is no devil, that you believe that there is no evil in this world, that there is no temptation out there, I'm going to tell you this morning, you are severely and sadly mistaken. There is a Bathsheba out there for you. There is a serpent slithering around your life for you. There are the voices of the world in which we live that are pressuring you, and the temptation is real. Do not believe that it's some kind of a story. Do not believe that Satan doesn't care, because we hear it right here when Jesus says to his disciples, when you pray, make sure you cover this whole temptation and evil thing. Because Satan is on your heels. Because Satan would love nothing more than to take you down. And so temptation is real. Temptation is real. The Sam story. Nobody reminded me, all right? But I remembered. So I must not be too old yet. I said to Sam on the way into worship this morning, who in the world dropped your car off in the driveway of my neighbor with the windows down? And he looked at me and said, what'd you say, Sam? My mom. And my whole point was, what, Sam? What was I going to do to your car? I could have filled it with packing peanuts. I could have Vaseline the handles. Were the keys in it, Sam? I could have driven it away. And it sat there for hours. And I looked at it and thought, oh, I should. I better not. But I could. but it better not. I mean, I could have had so much fun, Sam. And then the best part was, much like Adam and Eve, I said, Sam, I said, I should have done it. And you said what? Are you willing to admit it? I should have, because then your mom would have what? Well, then my mom would have gotten in trouble. That's the whole Adam and Eve thing right there, buddy, right there. Temptation is real. The car is sitting there, and I could have terrorized it, and I didn't do it. I should have. If there's a next time, Sam, you're in trouble. That's all I got to say, all right? Temptation is real. Now, many of you can say, okay, Pastor, temptation's real. Yeah, whatever. Temptation is personal. Satan isn't dumb. I mean, you know, for me, if I look at a table of food and it's filled with, oh, I don't know, right now in my life, if it's filled with a bunch of T-bone steaks and hamburgers and all this great ribeye stuff, and it just doesn't do it. But if somebody invents dessert chili, yeah. Satan understands how we're wired. And again, when he slithered up to Eve, it was one message. When he opened the eyes of David, it was another one. When he opened the ears of Peter, it was another one. Satan's not dumb. And much like my prayer is that each of you hear the word of God and grow in some way, and I can't control it, Satan looks at each of you and says, I'll get you this way, and I'll get you another way. And I know your biggest weakness, and I'll take you down. Temptation is personal. Don't think that, again, it's simply, oh, riches, or oh, fame, or oh, power. It is specific. Satan has a game plan. The whole idea is, how is it that I can get each person here to trip up, stumble, and fall, and then I win? I got a plan. And so this morning, understand that temptation is real. Understand that Satan has a file on you. And that file is filled with the best way to separate Paul from the love of God. How is it that I can get Paul to stick a fork in his ear and truly hurt himself? Temptation, it's real, it's personal, and it's disguised. Oh, it's disguised. You've heard me talk about this before, and again, it's maybe easy to pick on. But we as Westerners, boy, we disguise one of the biggest temptations ever. Because we talk about retirement. When we talk about retirement, we talk about investing. And when we talk about investing, we talk about IRAs, and we talk about 401ks, and we talk about amassing wealth. And all of our lives are all about making more money so that we can retire and we can be well off and we can enjoy life. You hear it? Enjoy life. And we justify it. We disguise it as a way of life. We disguise it as a way of living. And the truth of the matter is, we want more money. We want cooler things. We want newer boats. We want newer trucks. The truth of it is, we really enjoy stuff. And pretty soon that stuff is just like Bathsheba. You see, Satan isn't dumb enough to be blatant. He's smart enough to disguise it. So we make a case for it, and we can justify anything, and wow, you know? But the truth of the matter is, it's still evil and still a temptation. So it's real and it's personal, it's disguised, and we really need to be wise and understand this. There is one reason that Satan comes to us. There is one reason that temptation is laid before us. There is one reason that the voice of the evil one whispers in our ear. And it is for our destruction. Do not believe that you can sin just a little. Do not believe that, well, I'm young, I can get away with this now. Don't believe that, well, you know, one time isn't going to hurt me. Understand the agenda of the evil one is to tempt us in a manner in which we are destroyed. That we are crushed. That we are separated from the love of God. That's what temptation is. That's why we need to pray about it. That's why Jesus teaches his disciples to say, watch out, because the whole agenda is to crush you. And when you're crushed, you lose your hope. You lose your dream of the future. You lose that love that can change your life. You are devastated. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Lord, I need some help to get through this real, personal, disguised, destructive temptation that is in my life. One piece of good news in this message. It's really been a public service announcement so far. I want to give you one word again. And what does it say? Deliver us. Amidst the reality, and I want to be very clear, amidst the reality, and you need to understand the truth of temptation, of evil, and its destructive nature, the word deliver is there. And the truth is that God conquers evil. The truth is that this week, as we walk towards the cross, we see the love of God destroy evil, conquer death, bring hope in the resurrection. And that's why Jesus says, pray the prayer that admits to the temptation, admits to the evil one wanting to crush you, but believe in the deliverance. That it isn't your power and it's not your might, but it is God's power. It is God's guidance. It is God's perseverance in a love relationship with you that can bring you through the temptation. It is God who gives us that sword of the Spirit that we might pick up and we might hack down every temptation that Satan puts before us. So this morning, do you believe that the evil one has an agenda for you? Because he does. Maybe you're asking the question, what's there? Look hard, because it's disguised. And understand when you leave here that the biggest, best, happy day that Satan can have is that he could add your name to that list. Adam and Eve, David, Peter, Paul. And that we're crushed and destroyed because of the temptation. The last thing that Satan wants is for you and for me to be like Christ and say, I have the sword of the Spirit, the sword of prayer, and in that I can conquer anything. Amen.